Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Many will tell you small business is at the heart of the Canadian economy. It is certainly at the core locally. When the provincial government issued its emergency order back in March, it divided things into essential and non-essential services. Those that were essential were to keep operating. The rest would be closed down. And as time passed, and public health officials raised concerns, it was necessary to tighten the lockdown further to stop the spread of the deadly virus. And so even more businesses were shut down. But at the same time, the provincial government began to address some of the problems facing business owners. Electricity rates, loans, and other measures are some of the steps being taken to ease the pain. Then there are the federal programs aimed at providing assistance to both employers and employees. To walk us through the challenges and successes of some of the small businesses in our region, Adam Bureau is joining me. He is the interim chairman of the Cobourg Downtown Business Improvement Area, or DBIA, as well as being one of two councillors sitting on the committee. Here is our online interview. I'm here today with Adam Bureau, the interim chair of the Downtown Business Improvement Area, or the DBIA, for Cobourg, and also a council member who sits on the DBIA. And I want to welcome you to Consider This.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to talk to you today about what's going on with the businesses in the downtown. And I was wanting to know, how would you characterize the state of businesses currently?
Well, currently, I believe 80% of them are closed. So right now, not much is happening. The ones that are working are able to do curbside delivery or deliveries from home and selling their stuff online and then delivering it. That's pretty much the state it is right now. We are looking in the future to do a strategic marketing plan on how we can, when we are allowed to open, whatever parameters on how to market that. I do know that a lot of the members are eager to open, that's for sure.
So when I looked at your website, I saw that there were about 35, 40 businesses out of the 250 that are opened. When you look at that list, I would say that a majority of those are food services, restaurants, bakeries, those kinds of things. But there are some businesses, some clothing retailers and others, who are trying to do some online business. Can you talk a bit about what their strategies are?
So what they're doing is either opening up a Shopify account or through different social media platforms on selling their merchandise. When they do get that, when they do have a sale, the money's either e-transferred and then or paid for by credit card, and then the merchant delivers them curbside.
In terms of the impact on the downtown businesses, do you have any idea of how it's impacting these people?
Oh, huge. One of the things about being an entrepreneur and running your own business is it's pretty much your life. It's a 24/7 day job. So when you can't do that, or your livelihood, you either invest your own money into it, or a lot of the retailers depend on daily sales to stay open. So when all that is just shut down with no end date, it's really scary to find out how long this is going to go, what kind of hole you're going to be have to dig out of if you don't qualify for any of the benefits that the federal or provincial government is giving. So it's really a scary time, and I feel for all of them because I know exactly what they're going through.
Have you been talking to some of the business owners? What are they telling you?
Well, we've, as the DBIA, we first priority is our membership, to help in any way we can. And we have had a membership meeting to find out how people are working. We did invite the public and the media as well, because one of the reasons for that was to let the public know that some merchants are open, which ones are open, and is there any way we could get the message out on how we're doing business now to the public. So the top priorities are to make sure that our members are heard, and any way we can help, we will.
No, that's on an official basis. Are people calling you independently or individually and talking to you about what's going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My phone rings all day, and welcome. Please call if there's any questions that you have. A lot of the problems was when the government comes down with the mandates on how to open or how to do business, they're pretty vague. And even with the essential businesses, are pretty vague. So especially when you go in and you try to find out, are you an essential business? These are the reasons. Even when you call or go online to find out and type in your story on why you think you should be open, it's really vague, and they don't really give you a lot of answers. So I've been fielding a lot of those questions, and we've been trying to share a lot with the members on the policies on if you are open, if you're an essential, or if you're not essential.
Help me and our audience understand just how business people think about these kinds of things, because you're describing things in sort of very general terms. I'm wondering, can you give us any anecdotes or stories that might help us better understand some of the tensions and the challenges that your members are going through?
Well, I won't name anybody personally, but some are scared of however long we're closed without any sales, how big that hole is going to be that we got to dig out of, and how long that will take. A lot of them now understanding that we've gone through a couple months of this now, and we can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel somewhat. But one of the biggest fears is, how is it going to look like when we reopen? How is there still going to be business? Is there still going to be people wanting to come to the stores? So all those kind of things are now on the minds of the members.
Let's talk about some of these issues. One of the things, obviously, there was a lot of concern around people paying rents. Has anybody mentioned to you how that's working out? Is the government program helping?
Yeah.
What's going on?
There's three or four different scenarios. One is, yes, they've worked it out with their landlords, and they're looking forward to the future. Some have qualified for the benefits, so, and worked it out with their landlords as well for that 25% of the rent. And others don't qualify, but have made arrangements, and others have yet to talk to their landlords. So it's all up in the air right now.
How about staffing? I know that in some of the literature that gets passed around, the DBIA employs something like 7,000 people in total. Do we know how, any idea on layoffs, or whether people have been able to be retained? Have people been able to pay their staff, or have they had to let them go? What's going on with the employees?
A lot of them, being closed, they've had to, it's hard because there's different service businesses. So are you talking about retail? Are you talking about service? Are you talking about the banks? Are you talking?
Well, help us understand this. This is good. So that's good. So you're saying there's different scenarios for different types of businesses. Maybe explain a couple of those so that we understand how it works.
Right. So for instance, like Shoppers Drug Mart, the banks, the bigger retailers, or the bigger people like that in the service industry, and I guess somewhat retail, they've been able to maintain their employees and through social distancing and having safety precautions in their places. Other regular retail stores who are closed have laid off their employees. I would imagine I haven't got into each one's way of operations, but I would assume that they've all certified or were able to get the CERB benefits. And the restaurants, I know that they've laid off a lot of their wait staff, but the cooks are there. working. So that's good.
Now, in some areas, we've been seeing a lot of innovation and creativity as businesses have responded to the current situation. Can you provide us with some examples of what people are doing that is innovative and creative to meet the challenges that they're facing right now?
There are a few. Coming up with different methods of selling their stuff online, and we're looking at an e-commerce site as well to have everybody who is selling their stuff online in one spot, and then promoting that one spot where each individual retailer can take care of their own stuff on that site. The next one is the DBIA did a gift card program. You're able to buy gift cards to any participating retailer that or restaurant or service that wanted to join. And then what we did, it works out really well. Then what we decided to do was up the game a bit and gave downtown dollars. So if you bought a $100 gift card, you would get a bonus $25 downtown card where you could use it anywhere downtown. And then we did a double. We doubled that. So it worked out to whenever you spent $100, you would get $140, I believe. And we were sold out in a weekend. There was over, I think we sold over $15,000 worth of gift cards in that stretch, which is outstanding to show the community support for the downtown.
One of the things that seems to be really apparent is that online shopping is going to become a critical part of business. Is this a trend that's going to be continuing into the future?
Well, definitely for the next year or so, I foresee. The online presence was huge before this. Like you had to have, your website, your social media, somewhat on a daily basis to promote your business to keep up with the big box stores. Now, since the old fashioned way of going to a store, the way it was, is not going to happen for a while. So online presence is definitely key.
So one of the things though that I see changing, and I'd like you to comment on this, is the e-commerce side of it. Certainly there's businesses have had a presence on web, they've had a presence in social media, but the idea of doing a transaction, in other words, going, seeing what I'm looking for, choosing out into a cart, and then going and being able to pick that up and paying for it in advance online, that sort of e-commerce transaction has really come to the forefront. And if you're not online and you're not doing that really well, that's a missed opportunity. Is that a fair observation, or am I off in outer space?
It is. It's how do you, one of the questions is how do you do this for all 250 plus members? So that is the biggest challenge. And I know the board has taken this very seriously on how to do something like that, and looking at all avenues, but it is definitely the way to go.
So you're looking at it as a collective rather than individual businesses setting up their own e-commerce transaction in a collective way. Very interesting. Right.
Well, we're looking at all different options, either doing it and how to maintain it. That's the other problem too. So we always got to maintain everything. So even doing it one specific project doesn't mean it's finished. We got to keep it going through. So we're looking at all different avenues on how best to support the downtown and include everyone, because the DBA board isn't just for specific businesses, it's for everyone.
You can see somewhere like a tattoo parlor or a hair salon is a little different. You can't just order a haircut online, right?
Exactly.
Although I wish, looking at myself in the mirror every day, I wish I could. One of the things that we've seen, though, was the ability of small business in the downtown to pivot very quickly at the beginning of the isolation and the self-distancing. And I know there's been a lot of examples where businesses were able to flip around very quickly, start offering online pickup or phone in, and then being able to deliver, et cetera. What does that tell you about downtown businesses and small businesses in general, their ability to pivot so quickly?
I think that's a great question. For me, in my experience, and from talking with other retailers and merchants, it's when you're an entrepreneur and you put your life savings or you're working, I call us problem solvers. We probably fix probably 15 to 20 problems a day, every day in a normal scenario. So we're able to find the problem, adapt, and come up with a solution which works best for that particular business that they own. So I entrepreneurs are resilient. They're out of the box thinkers and they're go-getters. So they're, I know they're brainstorming now on every day on trying to how to improve their business.
What do you think is being done by the government that's working? And what do you think that's being done by the government that's not working? Let's talk about federally first.
Federally, I think, truly, I think they're doing everything they can. They've done an outstanding job. Forget the parties, forget being liberal or conservative or anything. I think honestly, they've stepped up to the plate. They've taken everything into consideration. And I think they're trying to help every single aspect of Canada, in my opinion.
Okay, what about provincially?
Provincially, I think honestly the same thing. I mean, they're out every day on the TV giving updates to everyone. They're not leaving anybody behind. They're doing everything that they think is right to help Ontario.
One of the things you said earlier, though, was that you felt there's a lot of things that are vague and that we don't have details.
Right.
Can you maybe elaborate upon that? And what are you looking for from the provincial government in that regard?
Well, there's two things on this. One is for the guidelines. It would be a lot easier if they had a clear guidelines on step by step on how they want us to operate. That would be the first. And second, essential businesses. Everybody wants. How can I put this? For instance, the big box stores that are allowed to be open because they have pharmacies and groceries. To me, if you're an essential business and we're in this pandemic, they shouldn't be allowed to sell any non-essential items. So to me, that is, I understand all the employees are going through a tough time and they have my utmost respect. But I think it would have been a lot easier if they only just sold essential items. So I think if this ever does happen again or this comes up again, I think they really should look at that part of that.
Now, what about municipally?
The emergency control group is on that now. So they've taken a lot of responsibilities. Council is still going, but anything to do pertaining to COVID-19 is kind of with the emergency group.
Now that's overall. I'm talking though about businesses, in particular downtown businesses. Is the council doing enough to support the downtown business core at this time?
Okay, that's a pretty loaded question. So I think it would be the responsibility of the DBA board to come up with recommendations for council on how they can help pertaining to the downtown.
So I guess the question then becomes one of, I understand you guys are holding a meeting this week with the DBIA. Will you be coming forward with some recommendations to Municipal Council?
Yeah, we have our board meeting Thursday morning. So whatever comes out of, whatever the board decides on that, we'll bring it to council, we'll make a recommendations to council. I do know that having talked personally with a lot of the councillors, they are very indeed in wanting to help and support the downtown. I know Councillor Beatty and the Deputy Mayor, Sagan, has, Deputy Mayor also sits on the DPIA board, so she knows everything that's going, that the members are going through as well, and has been a big advocate on trying to help and come up with different ideas as well.
Tourism is a big part of the local economy. I mean, there's the festivals, there's the entertainment, there's the events. They draw people into the region, but also specifically into the downtown. The DBIA had big plans for 2020. I know that there were several announcements before the pandemic hit, and much has been canceled. Can you explain the impact of this on the downtown?
Yeah, it's a huge impact. A lot of the festivals and street sales would bring a lot of revenue in for a lot of the businesses that would help carry them through the slow months. So it was a way to get rid of kind of old stock, replenish the new, and have savings for, you know, the colder months like January, February, and March when things are a lot slower downtown.
Are we going to see businesses go under?
At this moment, I can't tell you. I don't know. Nobody's indicated to me that they were going out of business because of COVID. So I think not right now that I know of.
Would it surprise you if some did?
Oh, definitely not. I would assume that's what I was saying about the whole. So even we've lost 2 months of retail, almost 2 months of business. We still have the rents and the bills to pay. So how long, even if we did work it out with the landlords, how long would it take us to get out of that hole? And then what is business going to look like when we're allowed to open? So, I mean, is it going to be busy? Is it going to be slow? I do know that a few days before the emergency closure happened, it was hardly anybody out on the streets. It was slower than slow. So is that social distancing, when they do keep that, when we are allowed to open, is that going to affect how the day-to-day operations, where the e-commerce comes into effect, I think?
And too, I mean, you're talking about a period, January, February, March, always a slow time in downtown business, I mean, traditionally. So that's another factor. What do you think in the end, in summary, do you think the impact is going to be on the local economy?
It's going to be huge. And I don't think it's not just downtown. I think for all businesses in Coburg that are closed, I think everybody's going to be having a really, really tough time climbing out of this hole. Even if you've been in business for years or you've opened up last year, I think it's going to be a big impact. Big.
So what's the strategy coming out of this?
Strategy is coming up with a plan in order to market the downtown, on the DBI point of view, to market the downtown the best way we possibly can, and to help all the members as much as we can, and to bring people to their stores or their online stores or however that looks.
Adam, I wish you and all the entrepreneurs in the downtown the best of luck as we go forward.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Adam Bureau, interim chairman of the Coburg DBIA. Results of the meeting Adam mentioned in his comments will be added in the notes with the show and podcast online. I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, you can also email me at that same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.